Hiya, welcome to this week's teaching by Exchange Church Belfast. Our heart at Exchange is for you to experience a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and thrive in life. If you want to call by for a Sunday service, we'd love for you to join us at 10:30 in the lounge for a wee cuppa, followed by our worship from 11 a.m. You can also connect with us via Facebook, Exchange Church Belfast, Twitter at Exchange Church, Vimeo, exchangechurch.tv, or our website, exchangechurchbelfast.com. It would be great to hear from you. Now over to this week's talk.
Today, it's an interesting one, because there is something about... I grew up, as you know, as a charismaniac, and one of the things that in my world was very prevalent and growing up was the fact that I had lots of people in my life who told me that in order to see God move, it's all about what comes out of your mouth, all right? And I want to speak into that today just at the end, and I'm going to build on it next week. And it's absolutely right. And I want to talk today about when you have faith, you speak. But I need you to really, at the very start, listen to what I'm going to say. Because actually, if you're not careful, what we do is we think that simply by uttering words, all right, that there's, irrespective of what's going on in our heart, I'm going to say that, that that's all that's required. Has anyone ever been told that? Just speak, keep speaking, all right? And find yourself going around the same mountain? Anyone? All right? If you haven't, just try it for a while, okay? And at some point in your Christian journey, what you're going to find is you're going to keep speaking and going, you know, it's almost like this. It's almost like a lucky rabbit's foot. Although we don't believe in that stuff, you know what I mean? Or is it a rabbit's foot that's lucky? Some animal's foot is lucky. It's one of those ones, all right? And we go, okay, I'm just going to keep saying this. And if I keep saying it, at some point I may believe it, all right? And I find myself in many situations like that. I find myself at times praying for people and speaking over them and shouting over them, going, just say it. Go on, get it out. And they're going, oh, I absolutely believe. And they didn't. They were absolutely petrified. They're going, if I don't say this, you're going to knock my melt in. Because stop screaming in my face, would you? All right, and then at times for me, going, actually, Lord, my heart is as cold, it's as far away right now. I don't know whether I am stuffed or mounted, but I'm going to say it anyway. And then feeling more condemned by the end of the saying because nothing happened. Anyone? All right, so the thing is, that's not the Lord's heart for you. And one of the things that the Lord does is, and honestly, I feel today's almost like a prophetic message, so it's going to be quite simple, but I want the message to land with you because, and I need to hurry up because I don't want to get stuck halfway through. Remember last week I said that what we've been saying is if you want to have faith, I'm going into George Michael right there. And isn't that right? Is that George Michael? Yeah, yeah. If you want to have faith. I've lost my train of thought. If you want to have faith, I'm going to hear George Michael singing this now. It's not you got to shake your body, all right? If you want to have faith, you need to receive love and grace first, all right? And it's that thing of where does faith come from? Number one, this is just a quick recap, it's a gift of God. Peace this means that it's not created by you. So you're forever free worrying about whether or not you have enough faith. You've been given the gift of faith, the measure of faith. And what that faith is just the ability to believe God. That's what the word means. That's the sense of the word. But there's also a sense of us growing in this gift, growing in how it is used. It's there, but we've got to learn how to use it. And it's interesting for me that what I have talked about in the last few weeks is the way the Lord helps you with that is he gives you pictures. Well, if something goes into your head as a picture or an experience, you will remember it so much longer. And that's what the power that the Lord has given you. So whenever you read the word, he gives you pictures that provoke your thinking, okay? And I asked you the question, if you want to, because why is that important? Because that's what's in your heart. And if you want to know what's in your heart, I said, what pictures come to your mind when something happens? Do you automatically go to, oh, I've got to do this, or this is going to happen, oh my goodness, what about, and get all stressed out and worried, and you're painting pictures, you know, we're not going to have enough money, that's going to happen. It's almost so quick, our cognition is so fast that we have this creative ability given to us by the Lord that if it's not under grace, what it will do is it will bind you up in worry. And it's from that place, because remember I said that whatever is going on in your world right now, it started off on the inside of you. You know, we're not a victim of our circumstances. Our circumstances play a part, but we're not victims. Under grace, we're free. Remember, he who has been set free is free indeed. And I don't mean to be hard on that. I don't want to be tough on that, but I had to get my head and my heart around that, going, I can't live the blame game. Because when I come to Jesus, his abundant supply is all that I need, irrespective of what others have done or said. All right? And it was that thing of the Lord not being hard with me, but loving me, that helped me to see that. So what's interesting is the pictures that the Lord gives you. I said last week, I talked about the letter hey, remember, which is grace. and saying, well, how do I change my heart? Well, the actual word hey in Hebrew, number 5 in the Hebrew dictionary, is a picture of what? Can anyone remember? An open window. And it's funny that under the law, the rabbis today who are under the law, don't know, they say it's an open window, but they don't know what to. They have no grid for it. But we know, because where we see it, like in the name of Abraham and all that, when grace comes into the middle of Abraham, and he comes Abraham because he received righteousness by faith, that this is a window to an open heaven. So I was encouraging you, what does your mind picture whenever you hear the word grace? This week, did you see that window open for you? Did you see heaven flung wide and all that you need just coming for you and at you and towards you? Because that's what it is about. It's that ancient Hebrew word for an open window. And remember I said last week, it's a wonderful way that the Lord rebukes you. Whenever you hear, oh, you have little faith, all right? The rebuke is you're not taking enough. Isn't that crazy? Actually, what the Lord says to you is, it's not like, oh, you have little faith, you stupid, you're going to miss out. Actually, the word there that I talked about last week is you're dull of hearing. He says it actually blesses me when you come and you take from me. You know, and somebody said to me last week, actually, oh, well, actually, it's all about giving. You know, tell your people they have to give. And I thought, yes, you have to give. But most people in the church are giving, 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 and running empty and feeling frustrated and tired. But when the Lord flows into your life and you receive, you will flow in giving and never run out. That's the point. So that's why you've got to receive. That's why heaven has got to be open to you. So what happens this week whenever something happens? Do you see open heaven coming my way, or do you see closed, I better get onto this myself? We've been given testimonies every week. Just let me tell you, I pitched for a bit of work in my business. Oh, I don't know, going back to the summer. And it's in the States. It's the first time I'll get into working with some very senior people. And I thought it had gone. I hadn't heard anything. And 10 o'clock Friday night, get an email from America going, we've been looking at this. And literally on Wednesday, I'd said, Lord, you know what? I don't think this is happening. I'm just going to let it go. All right, it's just done, you know. But I was really happy to. It was kind of like, you give me, take away. That's a joke. It's like, you know, Lord, I'm good with it because my trust is in you. And then, and literally, it's funny when the email comes in, they say, we'd really love to book you for this work. This would be fantastic. And you kind of go, huh, cool. All right. It's like, I don't need it. It's just the blessing of the Lord. All right. If he can do it for me, because what I thought, I had a moment of going on Wednesday, like, ah, for goodness, and the condemnation comes, you're not good enough, you're not ready for this. You know, it's like, well, if there was something else, you'd be in position for this. And in that moment, for me, I just opened heaven. All right? I just went, Lord, heaven's open. So I'm going to walk past this one, and that's fine. 48 hours later, the email's in the inbox, going, please put those dates aside because we really want you. All right? It's just going to fit me. Isn't that awesome? You know, it's like when you're free from it because you know that heaven's open all the time. When you think there's a missed opportunity that you normally grab at, you just go, I can leave that one because I know that there's something for me. Now, in this one came back. And the Lord, it's a blessing for me. But it's open heaven. I didn't do anything. There was nothing in those intervening times. I didn't scrunch my eyes and try harder and, you know, say a few less naughty words and love my wife a bit more. I just went, Lord, heaven is open. And because you love me, I rest. I go about what I need to do, and the Lord goes, oh, yeah, and by the way, here you go. If he does it for me, he'll do it for you, okay? What is it that you're waiting for? And so that's what I want to speak into, because in that moment, I didn't give voice to everything that was wrong. I didn't give voice to my fear, my lack of faith. I just said, thank you that heaven is open. The window of heaven's open for me, right over me and my home, over me and my family today, heaven is open. Picture it in my head, all right? Going, whatever's going to happen, is going to happen, it's great. Do you get that? So do you want to see how that works? Do you want to see how speaking actually works? And I'm just going to lay the foundation for you, because let's read a really well-known chapter. Actually, we were singing about today. It's the story of Jesus, and I mentioned it because it's one of the times where he says, oh, you have little faith, but it's the time when he walks in water, and he gets Peter to do the same. So let's pull up Matthew 14, 22. And let's read it. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against him. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out to him in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Or actually in the original, it is I am. All right, so that's really important. Do not be afraid. Next slide. And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, "Oh, you have little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, I want to help you this morning by going, whatever trouble you have today, all right, if you look for Jesus in the trouble, then you're going to have everything that you need. Remember, I've been saying to you all summer, what are you feeding on? What are you putting into your heart? What are your eyes going to? What's filling your heart and your mind? Because at some point, you're going to need that. You build strength and you build hope. You build encouragement. You build peace. You build confidence whenever you feed on the Word of God. Because every time you go and you sit under grace and you take the Word, I'm telling you now, it does something in you. And that's why I've been encouraging you to feed really well. What's interesting here, they're in the fourth watch of the night, just to encourage somebody. The way that they would have split up the watches was the first watch started at 6 p.m. and it ran in 3 hours. So 6 to 9 was the first watch, 9 to midnight, midnight to 3. And then from 3 to 6 was the fourth watch of the night. So what you find is this is the darkest part of the night. This is the bit where, you know, it's always darkest before the dawn comes. And so what happens is, it's just a picture, I'm just setting the scene. You know, it's like in the part of their lives, in the disciples' lives, where it's the darkest bit of the night, where they feel like they're going to go under, where they feel like they're sinking. It's like at that time, that's when Jesus comes. He's there and he appears to them. And it's really interesting that, you know, it might feel dark for you this morning. And can I just say in one sense, the darker it feels, the brighter the light can shine. All right? So you might be feeling, I'm in the darkest bit of this right now. You might be feeling, I'm at the bit where I feel like I'm going to go under because this boat of mine is definitely rocking and definitely going to sink. Can I tell you that at the darkest point, that's when he comes, all right? And it's interesting, he comes towards them, just as he does to you. He comes, I love this is scene setting, okay? He comes walking on the sea, all right? All of these details are important. This was not him showboating. This is not the Lord going, hey, look what I can do. You people are really weak, of little faith, but look what I can do. Da, 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 da. All right? He actually comes because there's something, actually in Ephesians 1:22, it says this, God has put all things under the authority, the actual word is under the feet of Christ, all right? And has made him head over all things for the benefit of who? Ecclesia, for the benefit of the church. Listen to me. If you are in Christ this morning, you have benefits, you have love and blessing that people outside of the church do not have. Don't be embarrassed about it. This is what he does for those who he loves. You get that? Not that he doesn't love the people outside, but you have to respond in faith to what he has provided in grace. And what it says is here, so you have Jesus. I don't know what's going on in your world. Are you lacking money? Are you mentally ill? Are you sick in your body? The picture is this. As Jesus, in your darkest moment, as Jesus comes to you, everything that you think you're going to sink into is under his feet. He's the head of it all for your benefit. Do you get that? That's what he's saying to you. It's dark. In the boat, it seems like we're going under, but it's under his feet. That's what he's trying to say to these disciples, because they're going to have to learn to speak. But first of all, they've got to see it. And this story is in the Word to paint that picture of faith for you, so that if you're feeling like you're going under in the darkest bit of the night, the Lord says, actually, I'm walking towards you, and it's under my feet for your benefit. Okay? God's put all things under his feet for the benefit of ecclesia, those who are called out, the church. Isn't that wonderful? So I don't know what it is. It's almost like the Lord said, seriously, lift your head up. Lift your head up. And do you know what he does? I love this in English, and I did some studying around this, because I don't know what your picture of Jesus is. This is why I'm asking you to feed and asking you to keep Jesus right in the very center. Because in verse 27, it says here, as Jesus is walking towards you, this is why we sing Jesus. This is why we sing about his work. This is why we keep him at the very center. It's not about principles for living or five steps to glory and all the rest. But you don't need that necessarily. What you need is a big picture of Jesus and his love for you. Because when he arrives in the middle of the mess, when he arrives in the middle of weak men screaming and shouting like wee girls, tears and snotters, thinking they're going under, all right? Anyone? It's hard not to look at someone there and go, yes, actually, that's me, all right? Thinking they're going to die, thinking that the Lord's not there, that it's too dark and they can't see him. Do you know what he says? He arrives and he goes, I am. Now, when I was reading that this week, I went, there's something in this that I'm missing. Because, you know, let's go back to it. So the fourth watch of the night, but Jesus said, take heart, I am. Like, if that hadn't been me, you know, I'm not a great swimmer, as you know. Lots of movement and mostly downward momentum, all right? My kids are like dolphins. Like, seriously, it's really bad. See, this summer, do you know what I mean? There's me. Just picture the scene. Me and my Speedos and my goggles, right? And all right? You love it, don't you? Yeah, absolutely. Don't tell lies. So I'm in my Speedos and my goggles, like it's here. Standing at the edge of the pool, all right? Tapping on my belly, going, oof. And I'm absolutely worried, thinking, if I jump into this water, I'm going to drown. You know what I mean? And there's Hopi giving it all this, like Little Mermaid, you know, flipping around, doing synchronized swimming with Sophie, going, oh. You know, I'm thinking, get in there, you big fat lump. You're going to be all right. So I jump into the water, and you know, I do that. Is anyone not a strong swimmer? You know where you do the hug around the corner? Off the, right? Is that anyone else? Yeah. Okay. Where you kind of let go with one hand, letting on that you're really confident in the water, thinking, I'm actually going under if I let go of this sucker, do you know? That's me. And so for me, I kind of get, if I'm on a boat, right? Now the thing is, I love the water. Put a life jacket on me. We went to a lake. I was jumping in. What is that? I was jumping in and swimming around in this lake where you'd see like 100 feet to the bottom because I knew that I was safe with kind of, and also your six-year-old going, hurry up, Daddy, what's wrong with you? Get in the water. She's swimming around. But it's interesting. I would have needed Jesus to say more than I am. I'm going, good for you. I'm dying here. I am what? I am a lifeguard. I'm a captain of the boat. What is it? And I want to ask you this morning, what do you think Jesus is like when he comes to you? All right? When you think of your circumstances and you measure them up against I am, right? Like, this is why he says, if you keep your eyes on me, if you keep yourself focused on me, I am is enough. So I went to look at what I am actually means. Do you want me to read it? I've got this bit. I'm going to read it. Now listen to me. I'm going to go quite slowly because this is the Lord who comes to you, and we miss this because it's all going on around us. And before we get to speak anything, Jesus says, before you speak, before you do anything, I am. All right? Now listen to this. It's absolutely fantastic. I am that I am. All right? Contains each tense, this is somebody else's work, so. Contains each tense of the verb to be. We can translate it as this, I was, I am, and I always will continue to be, all right? So when the Lord comes towards you at the darkest place, he goes, I was, I am, and I will always be good, loving, kind, generous towards you and for you, okay? Now, let me just go on. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He announced that Elohim, the self-existent, beside whom there is no one else. This is what I am means, right? He is without beginning. Do you know what's funny about this? Try to get people to translate this. This is the bit in Hebrew where they leave bits out because they can't even say this name, okay? Yahweh, it's the bit that's written all funny, yeah? I don't want to go into it today because I want you to get the central point. This is the bit where even they won't mention this name. But this is what Jesus says. Now, we know this because we go back to God the Father, all right? But I want you to keep holding on to this. This is the same I am from the burning bush, exactly the same expression when Moses is looking at the burning bush, okay? But I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just think about Jesus coming to you, and this is what he says, okay? He announced that Elohim is self-existent, beside whom there is no one else. He is without beginning, without ending, from everlasting to everlasting, he is. Yahweh is the absolute I, acting with self-dependence, the absolute God of the fathers. He is the divine being, moving, pervading history, manifesting himself in the world. He is the self-determining one, absolute independence, in harmony with himself, remaining consistent, the absolute I, moving with unlimited freedom. He is the absolute personality. He is the personal God in his historic manifestation, unfolding and revealing himself. He is the God of redemption. By this name, he is eternal, uncaused, unconditioned, independent, and self-sufficient. As the God of grace, he becomes whatever is needed to meet the needs of those who are his. That's why he comes to them. He is the becoming one. There is the promise of the continuing self-manifestation in his name. I am, I was, I am, and I will always be. What kind of Jesus in your head comes to you when you're in a dark place? All right? What's he like? What view of him do you have? Because what's interesting is what we're going to see is when I tell you from 2 Corinthians 3:18, you've got to behold Jesus. You've got to keep looking at him. That's what's going on here. So what the Lord does is you need to know and be really confident of who you've got your eyes on. Isn't that amazing? I've read about 8 lines there, and we have 2 words in English, I am. But actually, so what he's announcing is something so much more. You know, the Pharisees, who's the I am? Are we talking about God the Father? No, actually what we know is Jesus said, that's me. The Pharisees accused Jesus of blasphemy, you'll know that, because he was forgiven sins, and only God can forgive sins. So their complaint was, who are you, in John chapter 8, you read, who are you to do that? Because only God can do that. Now, in response to that and their accusations, Jesus says, before Abraham was born, I am. All right? They knew exactly what he meant at that time. There wasn't any question in their minds because they picked up stones and they wanted to kill him. So Jesus names himself the I am. And so what happens is right from the burning bush where Moses first hears those words to this point, Jesus is saying, you know what? Above it all, it's me. And I'm not ashamed about it. You might want to stone me, but I am. I become everything that you need. And I always have done it. I am doing it today, and I will do it forever. That's the Jesus who announces himself in the darkness with everything under his feet for your benefit. Oh, come on. Somebody's got a too small a view of Jesus this morning. Some of you are standing at the water's edge today, seeing a glimpse of some dimmed down Jesus and not the one who announces himself in the middle of every trial and difficulty. All right? Because actually what's going on here is when this gets into your heart, whenever you keep watching and seeing and having this bigger view of God, then what will happen is you will speak that. That's the point. Faith speaks what you believe. Not what you just kind of think, but when you see Jesus and even these pictures of him walking on the water for you, when you see that, faith speaks it. Do you get that? That's what Gary said a few weeks ago. He said that whenever David, even in front of Goliath, when he spoke, it wasn't hoping. It was because he had seen the Lord move against the lion and the bear that he could stand against Goliath. So his words were not hope. His words were faith, built on a sure conviction of who Jesus or God was. All right? Do you get that? So I'm trying to encourage you today. Whatever's going on in you, it's under his feet. Do you see him coming towards you in the darkest? I've tried that this week. These pictures are there for you, not just nice stories. These are pictures of faith. Everything that you think you're going to sink into is already under his feet. He's standing on top of it, and he comes to you and says, I am. I am. I am. He doesn't say, what are you doing? Are you trying? He says, I am. And you know what that's for? That's for peace. That's not I am, so you better do. I am, why don't you try this? It's like, I am, I'm above it all. Now rest. Just rest. It's interesting for me here that Peter, in response to this, okay, Peter walks in the water. Like Peter, he's on it. Peter, no. I'm not going to say that when we get in heaven because it's probably pretty big, you know. You can do it when you're on earth, but you go like, Peter. And then you see him face to face. You're going, oh, flip me. You're a big lad, aren't you? Big unit. Great job with the whole ear thing. Awesome. I bet you. He's uneducated. He's an unsophisticated fisherman. You know what? And I've talked about that. Uneducated, unsophisticated, rejected by the religious people. But you know what's really interesting about the uneducated, unsophisticated? Listen to me. When he looks at Jesus, he becomes like Jesus. Yeah. Think about that. It's called the firstborn blessing. Pastor Prince talks about this. The firstborn blessings become yours whenever you keep your eyes on Jesus. That's why he gets out of the boat. Where's his eyes? Where's his attention? And as he looks at him, he does what he does. That's why you need a big view of him. That's why when you get pictures of faith, that you've got to keep them in your head and in your heart. That's why you've got to remind yourself that heaven is open, that you're like a tree planted by a river, that whatever comes your way, that heaven is completely open for you to receive. Because as Peter, the unsophisticated kind of head case, because that's what he was. He was a hot-headed. He was bonkers. He would have done your head in. Don't look at me like that, right? And here he is in the darkest bit in that moment of going from we're all going to die to actually tell me to come. But his head was up. Now, what's really interesting here is we forget that. We think that this was just about, you know, this was about obedience. You know, this was about, it wasn't, it was about him responding to the I am. You see, the word that Jesus spoke causes faith to rise. And so he responds and he keeps his eyes up. And what's really interesting is whatever the Lord was doing, he was able to do the same. But it was all because of the focus and the gaze. Do you ever wonder why, if your eyes are everywhere else, if your heart is everywhere else, why you don't see the blessing of God flow in your life? Do you ever wonder why, if you're looking at your feet on the water, because I know for me, I just see 100 feet down and think I'm going to die, all right? Do you ever wonder why you sink? Look up. Because as you behold him, you become like him. That's the picture that the Lord's given here. There was nothing in the natural that Peter could have done to walk on water. Nothing. It's impossible. All right? Nothing at all. Nothing he could have created. Nothing that he could have manufactured. Nothing that he could have manipulated. Nothing that he could have organized beforehand. And he goes, what I love about it, he goes from, oh, I'm going to die, to walking on water. I kind of feel like I go through that maybe 5 or 6 times a day, never mind a week. Anyone? Oh, come on, don't look at me like that. I feel so condemned. See, when I bare my heart, my soul to you people, and you look at me like, you're not even a Christian, pastor, seriously? What world are you living in? We are just so full of glory. Come on. It's okay to be honest, but I kind of feel like I go from, ah, to, whew. All right? I'm learning to have less of the, ah, to more of the, but I still have the, ah, all right? Yeah? Okay. I'm going to preach to somebody who's, thank you, you're honest, all right? I like it. I'm just going to help you very quickly with this. You know, do you know what's really interesting? Now, just let me help you with this. In verse 30, what happened to cause Peter to sink? All right? What happened? He took his eyes off, but what caused him to take his eyes off? Okay. It says it wasn't about the water, it was about the wind. It says the wind became boisterous. Let me ask you a question. What in God's good name does a bit of blowy wind have to do with walking on water? Have you ever thought about this? Do you know what it tells you? Human reasoning and human thinking, all right? Sometimes when we're in the middle of stuff and our eyes are not up, there are things that are not connected. Let me tell you, the wind was not connected to the fact of walking on water. Do you think if it was perfectly calm that day, with no wind, like a mill pond, that he would have been any more confident to walk in the water? Or when he was out there, it would have been any different? No, of course it wouldn't have. Do you know what it tells you? When we're in the middle of stuff, our human mind and our human reasoning, when we take our eyes onto those things, is completely twisted. Because all of a sudden then the issue that really is the issue has now gone, and he's now looking at something else which is causing him to sink in this area. Do you get that? It says the wind became boisterous. Not that all of a sudden he doesn't go, Peter then realized, I'm walking in water, what the flip? It doesn't say that. It goes, the wind became boisterous, and then he panics. Do you get that? It's about distraction. It's about the fact that your human mind, your human reasoning, is no good whenever you're in trouble. And when you're walking in faith, you're not called to look at the wind and the water. You're called to walk in faith, to keep your eyes up and go, whatever you are, because you're in me, I can do the same. It's so funny, because I've often thought it was, he just, you know, because I've always been taught, no, he got into the water and then he kind of goes, flipping Nora, you must be joking. It wasn't, it's because the wind blew. Think about that, or don't. But that's the problem when you start to live by what you can see. Your mind just doesn't get it. It starts to look at all these other things, interprets them, and then the issue now is not the issue, it's something else. That's why we live by faith, by looking. So as long as his eyes are up there, as long as his eyes are looking, the I am, all right? I don't know about you this week. What I want you to picture in your head, all right, is whatever bothers you, you need to stop and think and go, I am. He comes to me and he says, I am. It's under my feet. For you. Not just it's under my feet. It's under my feet for your benefit. For your good benefit, for your good, for your blessing. Do you get that? And in that moment, you can rest. That picture of under feet is just about authority. That's why some versions of the Bible say, put it under his authority, but the actual word is feet. Let me go very quickly. This is why we say, I want to get on the speaking bit very quick. That's why we say, don't look under your faith. Somebody said it this morning, it might have been Phil. In Hebrews 12, 2, it says, looking under Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The word there is tetelos. It's the only ever used once, okay, about Jesus. And it means that to bring something, the finisher of our faith means just to bring it to a whole conclusion. It's the only word that's, and what it basically means is, you know this Jesus, the one who causes this faith in us, all right, the one who gives us this, as we look to Jesus, if he started it, he'll finish it. That's what it means. It's like the consummation. That's what that word means. So I don't know what's going, whatever is going on in your world right now, the story is not finished. People won't finish it. Your circumstances won't finish it. The doctors won't finish it. The lack of money won't finish it. Your own, he will finish the story for you if you keep your eyes on him. Do you get that? Isn't that awesome? You don't need to worry. You don't need to be uptight. That's what you do. And it's the only time that word's ever used is used for Jesus, like Aleph Taf. So if you're sick, you have to know that you're already healed because of the finished work of Jesus. You don't have to ask yourself, do I have enough faith? Do I have the right kind of faith? What if I'm lacking in faith? Because whenever you're focusing on yourself and your faith instead of Jesus and his finished work, you've already put a barrier up between you and the ability to receive. What you should be asking is, did Jesus take away my sickness? Did Jesus take away my worry? Did Jesus provide for me? If he did, he had to have done it because it's a perfect work. So in other words, I fix my eyes on him. I don't focus on my faith. Because whenever you keep asking yourself, do I have enough faith? You've already put faith in as a hindrance. Do you get that? So stop asking the question. Just put your eyes up on him. And keep your eyes focused on him, the great I am. And you will see the goodness of it. Let me go really quick. So I just want to encourage you when it comes to this. Because when it comes to speaking, most people think it's about their faith. And I want to say this quickly. The more you focus on your faith, the more that faith slips away. I'm convinced of it. But if you focus on the finished work of Jesus, you focused on the I am, you see Christ, you see his grace towards you. Do you know what God does? He sees that as faith. We think our faith is what we do, how we, all that stuff. God just sees faith at putting your eyes on Jesus. Do you get that? I love it. That's faith to him. His eyes go about all over going, where do I see faith? It's faith, not what am I doing? Faith is, who am I seeing? Who am I beholding? If it's in your heart to believe, then you know what? You're not going to die of anything ill or untoward. You're not going to live in lack because it's already been taken away from you and you will see your miracle manifest. Finish work of Jesus every time. Keep your eyes there, and that's what God counts as faith. Isn't that lovely? I love that. So I get up every day, like in the middle of the week, open heaven. That was my faith response to my circumstances. Boom. It releases the blessing of God. I see the blessing of God. Right? Because in that moment, it wasn't, oh, for goodness sake, and my condemnation. It was, there's an open heaven. My faith response. And I'm learning that more. I'm learning that more and more and more to bring rest to myself. Now, if that's the foundation, all right, let me just say this very quickly. Is it okay for about 5 minutes? Yeah? Is everyone learning something this morning? You feel encouraged? Who's going to go out of here this week and go, it's under my feet, all right? Because if it's under his feet, it's under my feet. And so I'm going to rest. And I'm not going to work because you know what Romans 10 very quickly tells us? It says the righteousness of faith speaks. And just let me set this up for next week. For Moses writes about the righteousness which of the law, it says in Romans 10. The man who does these things, this is the law. The man who does these things shall live by them, right? But the righteousness of faith does what? It speaks, all right? So under law you do. Under righteousness by faith, you speak, and he has done, and he will do, and he forever will do. I am. Every tense covered. Now, it freaks us out because the law in our heart goes, no, hold on. And you see, this is not, oh, Jesus, if you're real. This is in response to the I am. So in the darkness, this is when Jesus comes to you. That's when I said, when you see him, follow him. When you see that glimpse as he was leading the people into the promised land, if you've seen a bit of Jesus, then go after him with all that you have. Give him all your attention and all your heart and put be careful what your eyes go to. Be careful what you give your heart and your attention to. Be careful what fills you. Because when you see Jesus, if you follow him, in the darkest bit of the night, he will come to you and you will see him and you will be blessed. You get that? It's so important, and it's from that place where the I am is revealed, this big Jesus, and like I love it, every tense covered. It's that Jesus that you speak about, all right? When he captures your heart that way, you can't help it but speak. And instead of going, I hope, or maybe on a fair day with a wind behind my back, it may just go my way. If I haven't been too naughty and been too sinful this week, it may just happen for me. It's to go, no, I am says it's under my feet for your benefit, all right? And so, therefore, I will speak. So my faith response on Wednesday personally was, heaven's open for me. I can even remember where I was, driving past the markets, going, flip me. Comes in, you know when you're driving, you know, and it just things come into your head? No? Yeah. Like wee random things just to upset you? No? Oh, good. Happens to me. I'm driving along quite happy. Then just something comes in my head and I want to kill people. Right? Maybe not. Only when I think about the church, okay? Everything else is fine. You're driving along quite normal, quite happy, everything's good, and then just your heart, you feel it in your heart, no? Yeah. Like almost tugging at you, going, oh. Yeah. That's what happens to me. I don't think I'm any more sinful than the rest of you. Other drivers, I know, I'm trying not to say that, okay? I give them the blessing of Abraham. I salute them in Jesus' name. But do you know what I mean? That's what happens. But I am says it's under my feet for your benefit. So my response is, Jesus, thank you. And all I said on Wednesday was, God, heaven is open. I'm not in lack. I'm never going to be in lack. I'm just blessed. Heaven's open. It's awesome. And just peace again. Peace again. Why was that? Because that was my mouth speaking what was in my heart, and I believe it. And I think that releases something. And you can't, there's no like 10 steps to get in there. It's just, you get captured by Jesus. What do you listen to? What do you watch? What do you put in your head and your heart? How do you talk? How do you help each other? Because that's where you will live from. Let me go very, very quick. The righteousness of faith speaks. Let me say something about faith, okay? You can't have faith without speaking it. This is the other side of it. When you study Romans 10, you're going to say that you see that the righteousness of the law does. So when it's law in your heart, I've got to do. When I have righteousness, I speak and I believe. The law is about doing, whereas faith's about speaking. So it's not enough just to know in your mind that you're righteous, folks, all right? It's not enough. You need to open your mouth and say by faith, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, this is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what it is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. Not I believed, therefore I did. I believed, therefore I tried. I believed, therefore I believed. With the same spirit of faith, I believed, so I spoke. You get it? And let me tell you why that is so important. Because the spirit of faith is clearly about believing and then speaking. So it doesn't matter how many sermons you've heard me preach or books on righteousness you've read and you've heard. What happens is when you believe it, then you speak it. All right? If you don't, you'll continually be frustrated going, why does this not work? And it's not about getting it to work. It's about a love relationship with Jesus, not using him for what you can get. It's about having the great I am comfort you and hold you and surround you, you and yours, your home, your family, your future, your finance, your body, your health, and every other way going, you're the I am. I'm so safe with you. And allowing him then to bring about good fruit for you. See, confessing your righteousness in Christ, do you know what it does? It doesn't move God. It doesn't do any of that. It just keeps you conscious of Jesus. It keeps you conscious of Christ. And every time you speak the righteousness of God, every time you do that, you magnify his work on the cross for you. And so you believe and you speak the truth. The more that you do that, the more you believe and the more you speak, the more you will walk in the blessing of the righteous. That's the truth. You know, I've seen more blessing in my life in the last 18 months by doing much less than I've ever done in my life before. Let me just speak it out for you. I'm not lazy, don't get me wrong. But I also understand, I like to respond and to do. All my doing over the last number of years never produced the fruit that I'm walking in today. Yeah. Not one peck of it. Not one itty-bitty bit of it. All right? But simply every day saying, Jesus, today, you're the I am. You come to me in the darkest bit of the night with everything under your feet. And because of I am, I'm going to talk about how Peter responds next week, okay? But because of I am, therefore I speak. You can't have faith and not say it. So I want to encourage you, even if it feels tiny to you this week, whatever he reveals or shows himself, whatever you read or you hear, just speak it out and say, Lord, I believe. That's why I love to say amen. Do you know that? See when people are praying? Because it's a faith response. So be it, Lord. In my life, let it be. So whenever I hear somebody say, Jesus, you're wonderful and you provided for me, amen is not some Pentecostal Northern Ireland religious thing, okay? It may sound like it, but it's not. It's a declaration of faith to go, so be it, Lord, for me too, all right? It's agreement. That's what it is. And so every time I hear it, faith in me says, yes, Lord, and for me too. Amen, let it be so. You get that? That's a great word. It's a great declaration. It's one of the things that you can start this week. Even when you hear it, if you're playing worship music or you're doing whatever, amen, Lord. That's it. Declaration and speaking faith. I'm going to get into it in a bit more detail next week, but I just wanted to encourage you this week, all right? You will see Jesus come to you at your hour of need. And he comes not just with, let me fix this. It's like the transcendent Jesus over all going, I am. Whatever you need, I was, I am, and I will always be for you, for your benefit. See me like that, all right? Actually, what happens then is that we know that the storm starts to go down. The storm starts to heal. Don't be distracted by human reasoning because you'll get, all right? And then from that place as you believe, let your mouth start to speak and you'll see fruit. The righteousness of faith speaks. The law does, but righteousness speaks. Amen.